Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be in Brisbane, especially seeing it was minus six the other morning in Canberra. It was a very different experience coming here to Brisbane, but it's wonderful to be back in Brisbane again. Merle and I lived here for 7 years, and we enjoyed our 7 years here. We've been 12 years back in Canberra now, but I want to just burst one little bubble. Did you know Canberra gets really, really hot in summer? It gets to like 40. We had some 38s last year, even though it's minus six. And as I tell my father and mother every time they come to visit, yes, it gets to minus six, but we don't sleep outside. We sleep inside the house, and the house is built for that. But it's wonderful to be with you. And I'd like to read the scripture, and I'll tell you a little bit about myself in just a moment. Let's read the scripture, and then we'll pray together. So John 13, 34 to 35, a new commandment I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And Matthew 24, 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, among us. In power this morning, we ask that we might truly be able to embrace the truth of your word as we share, that we would know what it is to be living in a deeper walk with you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, not just to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Help us to be effective in sharing your word. Help us, Lord, to be effective in soul winning. And Father, as we gather today and as we come for instruction and encouragement, and perhaps even correction, we open our hearts to you. What is it, Spirit of God, that you might say to us this morning as the church gathered in this hall? Thank you, Lord, that you are indeed here with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I do want to begin by thanking you for your prayers for Merle and I. I can't see the monitor. Is there up there for Merle and I? Roger and Helen would know what it's like in the first 6 months of a new role. Things are a little bit odd and overwhelming, but I do thank you for your prayers. On the screen should have all been given this little bit of paper like that. I'd love to be able to increase our communications with you. So the top part of the piece is if you'd like to give me your email address, you can write it out in the service, special presidential approval. You can write your email address on that piece of paper and make sure you give it to Pastor Kevin, and he'll give it to me. But we'd love you to get the news of the Christian Missionary Alliance as it's happening. Also, who has a Facebook account? Put your hand up. Yeah, look at that. Did you know we have a Facebook page in the Christian Missionary Alliance of Australia now? So on the bottom part of the page, go home or after service, like Christian and Missionary Alliance, and you'll get the news of what God is doing around the traps very, very quickly through Facebook. So I'd love you to do that. I'd love to have 40 or 50 new likes before Monday. That'd be fabulous. So thank you very much for your prayers, and please go and join us so we can communicate with you. Just to show you a couple of quick things here, the sermon title is To Boldly Go. Now, those of you who are familiar with Star Trek will know I like Star Trek, okay? But when you're sharing in international churches, I shared the title of this message in a Vietnamese church, and the Vietnamese translator was really excited, and he said, today's message is to, in Vietnamese he said this, today's message, the president will encourage us to go baldy. And all the young people in the front rows laughed. And I said, what did he say? So I don't encourage you to go boldly. I encourage you to go boldly. Very, very important distinction. Just to share too, my wife Merle would love to have been with you. Perhaps she'll be able to come on a visit next year. But she sends her greetings to you. Also, I have three sons, two daughters-in-laws, one wife, and seven grandchildren. And God is good. And two of the grandchildren are bright red, all the others are blonde, which is quite fascinating. It comes from my genetics. I'm actually born in Scotland, I was born in Glasgow, so I'm international too. And I'm an immigrant as well. I came here when I was four, and so all my kids are first generation. So also, just to show you, Pastor Rod, we had installation service, I suppose, a transfer of responsibilities. Now, I didn't need to explain something in Chinese culture, right? White sash is a good thing in Australian culture. Red, I know, is the good thing in Chinese culture, and white is used for other purposes, shall we say. But in Australian culture, white is okay. That's a celebratory thing, like a wedding, you know, the bride wears white. But Rod is now the pastor of the Caldwell Alliance Church in Canberra. A couple of years ago, friends, I started to discern in my own heart and life that there was more to the Christian life than I was currently knowing at that time. There was an X. There was something that was not quite as it should have been. Yes, I was reading the Bible. Yes, I was praying. Yes, I was even in ministry, leading a local church. But there was just that thing that I knew there was something more that God was calling me to, you know, a deeper relationship with Him. I don't know whether you know what I mean by that, but sometimes we just come to a place and we say, is this all there is? Is this what the Christian life is? And I want to encourage you to consider that sometimes when we get to that point, there is something else God is calling us into that is deeper. So as I'm sensing what it is that God that you're saying to me, particularly in my own life, I went back to the early documents and the early writings of Dr. Simpson, the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, looking at his doctrine, his experiences, and what was it that was at the heart of Dr. Simpson. And I think to summarize it as we do in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, there were two major planks, two legs that Dr. Simpson really talked a lot about. One was to have a deeper, more impacted, Holy Spirit-empowered Christian life. And the other leg was to be on mission, to focus on the mission that God calls us to, which is to share the gospel, to preach the gospel to every ethnic group in the world. And I think that's what made the difference in Dr. Simpson's life, because Dr. Simpson was a successful Presbyterian minister, and God called him to something deeper, called him to something remarkable. And it was the empowering presence of the Spirit of God in his life that made the difference. So I wanted to work that out. So I started attending a few conferences, Alliance Church conferences, of some folks who were talking about this aspect of a deeper life and empowerment of the Spirit. And I wanted to find in my own soul, was missionary still my middle name? Because our middle name as a denomination is what? Missionary. Christian and Missionary Alliance. And in my culture, the middle name is very important. So if you have a middle name, it's usually somebody who's a respected relative or something like that. But missionary is indeed our middle name as the Christian and Missionary Alliance. So I started to attend a couple of conferences and started to read. I spent a whole year preaching through the book of Acts at Woden. And then we spent a whole extra year on the person and ministry of the Spirit of God. And last 6 months we spent in Galatians. And I want to thank God that I've come to know and enjoy and to grow in a sense of God's presence in my life that is free from the legalism that sometimes comes upon Christian people, from other Christian people, that is free from the expectations we place on each other to live or to perform in a certain way. And I've come to know what I'm calling a sense of expectation without agenda. An expectation that God is going to do something amazing in my own life, in your life, in the Christian churches of Australia, without putting on top of that our human agenda of what we want God. We want to be able to discern what God is doing and get on side with God. That's the best place for us to be. So I've known that in my own life. And I've known in my life some godly people come along and share with me about what God might be saying to me in terms of my own life and walk. A number of people in the last few years have come and shared a word of encouragement and perhaps even a word of knowledge of what is it that God is saying. So as part of this, I was at a conference in Redding, California, and there was a speaker there talking about what it is to walk in a deeper Christian life. And he was talking about how we need to actually get alone for the next hour over lunch, seek God for what he's doing in your life, alone with no distractions, just be still and quiet and listen. So I decided I'd go for a walk, and I decided I'd go for a walk along a path along a river near this conference centre. And I'm walking along this concrete path, and I'm saying, okay, God, well, I'm here in Redding, California. It's a long way from home. This is a really good to be with Alliance people who are filled with excitement about God. What is it I'm doing here? What is it you're wanting to say to me? And as I'm praying that, the word comes into my heart, into my mind and in my heart. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up, mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get tired. They shall walk and not get weary. Now, I'm feeling encouraged because the Spirit brings the word of God into our mind to encourage us, right? Right at that second, across the path, a shadow flashes across the path as I'm walking on this concrete path. Don't worry, brother, it's not too spooky. But there was this shadow came across the path, and I glanced up and I saw this magnificent bald eagle. Now, I'm encouraged by this because just as the word of God comes in, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they'll mount up like eagles. There's this shadow goes across the path and this magnificent bald eagle. And I shared that with the lady in the hotel. She said, there's no bald eagles around here. I said, I didn't show her the screen. I showed her a picture. There is a bald eagle around here. And that was just a wonderful encouragement. And then just around the corner, I bought an ice cream because I'm into construction. My earlier career was to do with structural engineering and drafting. And there was a bridge called the Sundial Bridge. It was actually shaped like a sundial. Twice a year, it could tell you what time it was by the shadow off the sundial. Every other day, it was inaccurate, but as sundials are. But there was an African-American couple who I found out were living in Alaska. They were just sitting on the path eating their ice cream, and I'm walking around, and they're watching me walk around. And so I went and got my ice cream, and I just sat near them. And being Americans and being very out there, they said, well, hello there, sir. Where are you from? And I said, I'm from Australia, mate. And he says, what are you doing here? And I said, well, and I've never said this to anybody in my life before, I'm actually here seeking what God is wanting to do in my life next year. And he's both of them, the husband and wife, their face lit up and they said, you know what? God just told us to encourage you that that's exactly where he feels you should be at this moment, waiting upon him. Isn't that fascinating? That God can bring all sorts of things together. Now, I'm conservative Presbyterian by raising. So now my spiritual alarm clock is on tilt. It's flashing, saying, what is it, God, that you're doing here? At council in Canberra just a couple of years ago, our theme was to empower the next generation. And the thing about an empowered next generation is that it needs to have an empowered current generation, right? No use talking about an empowered next generation if we don't have any empowerment ourselves. The theme song of the council was a song called Hearts Ablaze. Let me read to you just a couple of the words. It says, I surrender to the loving hand of Jesus Christ, my Lord. I lay down my rights that your will be done instead. I surrender dreams, desires to the one who knows me best. You gave your life for me, Lord, what else can I say? Set our hearts ablaze with the power of your holiness. Let the image we see of you not be ours, but be true. Set our hearts on things above. We invite your glory, come down. Purify our hearts, O God, that we might worship you. Now, the words of this song helped me to refocus on two central things that I want to try and speak about and share. And I'm sharing this sermon with every Alliance Church in the next year or two. The two things are that we walk in a deeper life with Jesus, a genuinely Spirit-empowered life with Christ, and that we be on the mission of Christ. I've also come to the conviction that we desire to be evangelical, okay? Do you know what I mean by evangelical? We desire to be evangelical. Evangelical is an important thing, particularly if you live in Sydney. If you're not evangelical, you're really not viewed as being anything genuinely Christian even in some churches. But we are indeed evangelicals in the Christian and Missionary Alliance. But in the Alliance, I think there is something more than just being evangelical. And I want to share this phrase with you. It's, I think in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, we are indeed empowered evangelicals. Let me explain what I mean. Today in Australia, it seems commonly held that evangelicals are normally those who emphasize the Word of God, but they don't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, almost to the point where it's Father, Son, and Holy Bible. You know what I'm saying, right? So now, please don't get me wrong. I love the Word of God. I preach the Word of God. I read the Word of God. I want you to read the Word of God. But the Trinity is Father, Son, and... Are you sure? Let's try that again. The Trinity is Father, Son, and... Pastor Kevin, they said Holy Spirit in church. Can you believe it? You do often. That's good. But you see, in some circles, to be evangelical is to emphasize the Word, the Father, the Son. But they're terrified of talking about the Holy Spirit. And the fact is, friends, that the Word and the Spirit do not operate independently. We need the Spirit. Indeed, the Spirit operates directly on our hearts through the Word. We must be believers who preach the Word without apology. However, we must never be afraid of the Holy Spirit. In the Alliance, we're not afraid of the Holy Spirit, of course. How can you be afraid of the third member of the Trinity? So to be evangelical is a good thing, but our theology, brothers and sisters, is to be empowered evangelicals. The Alliance has a theology which takes that middle road between these extremes. On one side, you might have a more of a stained glass windows and forms only, usually requiring a particular uniform, and you don't mention the Holy Spirit over there. But over here, you might have what I would personally view as an excess, where it's all about the Spirit, it's all about experiences. There's not an emphasis on the preaching of God's Word or even living or applying the ministry of the Spirit according to God's Word. Christian Missionary Alliance, folks, we need to be somewhere else, which is in the middle and one step this way. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to enjoy the best of all of these things, not just say we want to be this or that. Who said you have to be in either camp anyway? We want to be where God has called us to be. And our theology is indeed that we teach and we emphasize an empowered Christian life, but it's on mission, on the mission of God. So we talk about the empowering of the next generation, but as I said, we need to have an empowered current generation as well. I saw this film. It was a fascinating film. I watched it again about a year and a half ago. It's from the film Master and Commander. It's a sailing ship movie. There's Russell Crowe. He's the captain. And I want you to notice something fascinating. The guys immediately around him are his senior officers, which is fascinating because they're all relatively young people. And what you can't see behind that shot, there's about another 150 people, half of whom are the old rugged set who've been seafaring for donkey's years. They're the experienced ones. They know how to read the wind, and they know what rope to pull, and they know how to sail the ship. The other half of the crew are young people who are fit, and they have the strength to pull the ropes and swab the floor and all the bits and pieces that are there. What I'm trying to say is that on this sailing ship, what impacted my mind was this was all the generations together. It was fascinating. And there was an allowance of some young people to be in leadership, but there were also the older, craggy ones who were also obviously in charge of the rest of the crew, and they told them what to do. So I want to encourage us, friends, as an empowered generation to be on mission together multi-generationally, multi-ethnically, multinationally to reach Australia for Christ. So to the older generation, let me encourage you, don't resent or fear the next generation or judge them because they need you. They need you because your experience of walking with Christ they need to see and hear. They need to see and hear how Jesus has impacted your life. Your best ministry years, seniors, are ahead of you, because you can start to apply all that you've learned and show that Christ is indeed real. To the younger generation, we need to honour those who have gone before us. And there is a sense of entitlement, I'm aware of that, in some younger generations. But young people, let us seek God for a lifetime of faithfulness, of walking with him. And let us honour our leaders publicly, because it'll lead to influence privately. Know that honour is given, but respect, young people, is earned. And if you ever want to be over in a ministry, we need to be realise and apply what it means to be under, to be faithful in serving as part of ministry. Because growing old is mandatory, but growing up in Christ is optional. I've met plenty of seniors who are actually still pretty much babes in Christ. And I've met some wonderful young people who are even more mature than some of those who've been in churches for a long, long time. So, and to all of us, may we indeed come together multi-generationally, multi-ethnically, to be God's people. God calls for a generation of people to be those influencers in our community, not just for causes that every other community group is on about, but for the cause of the gospel, to be on mission, because today's complicity is tomorrow's captivity. Now, Kevin, let me just can I digress for a minute? You mentioned the issue of marriage, the debate about marriage in Australia. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our complicity today will lead to the captivity of our children into all sorts of strange stuff concerning marriage if you do not speak up. You need to get hold of the Word of God, become convinced of what the Word of God says on this matter. I'm sure the pastors will help you with that. Jump on our webpage. We've got some stuff about that. But we need to write to our politicians. We need to cheerlead those who are going into bat and walking every day into the corridors of power and saying to people, this is what marriage is. That is not what marriage is. Because if we don't, we get what we deserve. I know that's tough, and it's tough love, but that is the fact. Today's complicity will be our children's captivity tomorrow. But I also want to encourage you three brief points, and then we're done. First of all, I want to encourage you to boldly go on mission. Today, being on mission is no longer a matter of distance going overseas. It's also a matter of access. And that access is limited access countries, I understand that, but also access to the nations who are indeed, God is bringing the nations to Australia, is he not? I mean, it's pretty obvious when we look around the room here, isn't it, that God is bringing, even I got brought here by God from Scotland in the 60s. So God has brought the nations among us. So we need to know what it is, brothers and sisters, to be missionaries. To be missionaries, to be sending missionaries overseas with a special calling, with a special anointing of God to take the mission cross-culturally to other nations. But every single one of us, brothers and sisters, can be a missionary right here in Brisbane where you live. So this young lady right here, yes, with the glasses, where do you live? What suburb? Swinger Hill? Spring Hill. Spring Hill. Do you know God needs a missionary to Spring Hill? Yeah, and you're probably it. See, that's right. You're a missionary to Spring Hill. The young man just behind her. Where do you live, sir? Sunnybank. Missionary to Sunnybank. God needs missionaries to Sunnybank. I wish I had time to point out to everybody here and ask you where you all live. But God needs us to be missionaries right here in this nation. Because if we don't, this nation will lose its Christian heritage, and we will lose the opportunity to empower the next generation as well. You know, the gospel could perish in one generation if we don't share it with the next generation. And friends, we have an issue here. We have advanced with the missionary cause to go overseas, and we've done that faithfully, and we've done it so effectively. But the enemy has swung around behind us, and he's cutting our supply lines. Is he not? He is grasping the next generation behind us. He is convincing them he doesn't exist, and he's convincing them that God doesn't exist, and he's snatching away all that heritage. We need to have people going forward in mission overseas, absolutely yes, but we need to have some people who've got their eyes on the next generation. Amen. So an empowered generation needs to empower the next generation. My passion is in the Christian Missionary Alliance in these early seasons is to talk about a Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused movement on mission together. And my vision is for the Alliance to be a movement of healthy, transforming international communities of believers. Believers who seek in the power of the Spirit to be models, cheerleaders, encouragers, effective servants who are actually effectively reaching their communities for Jesus Christ. You know, if we concentrate on mission too much, we could end up being almost humanitarian. And if we concentrate on the deeper life too much, we can be so self-centered. Oh, it's all about me, God. I'm having a wonderful time here, and we're not worried about anybody else. Christian Missionary Alliance, we need to have two legs. It's not just a deeper life. It's not just mission. They must come together. And then we will be the empowered people that God has called us to be. Also, I want to encourage you to boldly go into a deeper walk with Jesus. Australia needs Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled, Spirit-empowered. I'm not sure whatever phrase you want to use. We need Spirit-empowered believers to be seen. Spirit-empowered believers who love God. Spirit-empowered believers who love people. And Spirit-empowered leaders who have a passion to be the church and to let the world around us see that. All over the place, there is self-interest disabling the ministry of the Christian church. But in order to be effective servants, we need to love as God loves, and we need to love as God loves by choosing to do what is the best for another person. So in order to be effective service, we may need personal revival ourselves, an awakening, a fresh anointing of the Spirit, a filling from on high to accomplish the mission that God has given us to do. And I have good news for you in this. Your relationship with God was never meant to be boring and ordinary. You ever feel like that? I mean, I've been there. Sometimes you think, hang on, I'm just going through the motions again here. Your relationship with God was never meant to be boring and ordinary. Do you know how I know that? Because God is not boring and ordinary. God is extraordinary. Amen? Amen. Okay. I'm just checking you're awake. Okay. But he is. He is extraordinary. But part of the deeper life in Christ involves us growing and showing the fruit of the Spirit. A few months ago, I saw a documentary on the life and times of the Beatles. Does everybody remember the Beatles? Right, you remember them. When I was growing up, the Beatles were played and heard all over the place. They had the number one best-selling album for years. And for the young people's benefit, who don't know what an album is, this is an album. And it was the iPod, the iPhone of my early childhood. One of the many hits of the Beatles was "All You Need Is Love." Now, in a strange sort of way, that was never intended by John, Paul, George, and Ringo. There is something here for us to understand and to grasp. Part of the deeper walk in Christ involves showing love. Love marks a person who lives an extraordinary Spirit-controlled life. Yes, it's the gifts of the Spirit operating correctly within biblical bounds. I understand that. But the public evidence, friends, is the fruit of the Spirit. Everybody can see that. And yet there can be a lack of love. There can be a lack of love that divides believer against believer. Jesus said, people out there, people around you in your life, people in your circle, in your family, they will know we are Christians by the wonderful church building we're going to build. No. The church building you are going to build will be a ministry facility center that God is going to use to reach this community. Amen. God empower you. $3 million. We can do that. Praise God that we can do those kind of things. But the fact is, people will know we are Christians by our love. Isn't that right? They'll know we're Christians by our love. And I mentioned at Woden we spent a lot of time preaching Galatians. You know, one of the things that I really grasped studying that book was the compelling evidence of anybody living a spirit-filled, spirit-controlled life is the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. Spiritual gifts can be counterfeited. They can be used improperly. Miraculous signs can be faked and even falsely claimed. But the fruit of the Spirit cannot be consistently counterfeited, faked, or humanly produced. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, what's fascinating is the fruit of the Spirit is love. The word love is the singular there, and it is all those other things, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control, are characteristics, are manifestations of this fruit of the Spirit, which is love. This kind of love cannot be humanly produced. It is God's love revealed to us in Scripture, love that tells us how to live before God and with each other. The fruit of the Spirit, love, of course, is primarily seen in our relationships. You can see it. You can tell who has been empowered by the Spirit of God. And we will know who's been impacted by Jesus by their love for people all around them. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love is absolutely necessary no matter how great our spiritual gifts are. Because we can always talk about spiritual gifts, but I think I want to talk today specifically about this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit being love. You see, in churches like Corinth, the church in Corinth and Galatia had a lot in common. They had cliques, factions, divisions, catfights, pride, spiritual smugness, performance-based activity, self-effort, self-interest, and particularly in Corinth, pride and misunderstanding about the gifts. So Paul writes to this church to bring correction to them. And in Paul's letter to the Corinthians from chapter 12 through to 14, he talks about spiritual gifts and he's writing to correct the church. Right in the middle of Corinthians 12 and 4 to 14 is what? 1 Corinthians 13, which was not written for weddings. Did you know that? Now, I use it at weddings. And it's okay to do that because the principles of love are sound and they are Bible and they need to be taught. But Paul is correcting the church. Amen. And he says, you're doing it wrong, guys. You're not loving. Fruit of the Spirit is love. And he says, even if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I do not have love, I'm just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, people can't hear me. If I have the gift of prophecy and I know all mysteries and all this faith, but I do not love, I am nothing, Paul says. And he says, even if I give all my money away to feed the poor, surrender my body as a martyr, and I do not love, there is no profit in it for me. You see, it is the fruit of the Spirit, love, that makes spiritual gifts valuable. It is the fruit of the Spirit, love, that gives evidence that spiritual gifts are operating via the Holy Spirit, and not from self or some other source. Aren't you glad God loves us too much to leave us the way we are? I mean, I am. I'm really glad. I'm glad that God doesn't fall in and out of love for us. I am glad because I'm not always easy to love. And neither are you. We're not always easy to love. I am glad that God loves us the way he does for our greatest good. And with a love like that, you know you should be glad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why I mentioned the Beatles. So when God commands us to love, what's he commanding us to do? This is my favourite definition. Choosing for the highest good of another. You know, because we get so self-interested, we love ourselves and we choose for our own good. But to love as God calls us to love is to choose for the highest good of another. I mean, isn't that what God did for us? We needed a saviour. We were out of relationship with God. So God sent us a Christian counsellor. No? God sent us an architect. No. God sent us what we needed. We needed a saviour. He acted for our highest good. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul describes what this love looks like. He says it's patient. It's kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not hot-headed. And if ever there was a Christian thing that needs to be sorted, it's hot-headed Christians. And is anybody an accountant here? Any accountants in the church family? The last one's an accountant's word. Love keeps no records of wrongs. Because accountants keep records, right? What that means is that you're having a fight with someone, or disagree with someone, and you keep records of their disagreement, how objectionable they are. God, they hurt me. They did this to me. They did this to me 30 years ago, God. And they keep the account and they keep it in their pocket. Every time they see that person, out comes the account. It's an accounting word. This is the account of what you have done for me. Paul says love keeps no records of wrong. Love gets the record of wrong and tears it up and says, I am not going to be subject to that anymore. It's a bondage. That's what it is to love. Do we love one another like that? Do we love our family like that? Do we love the other members of our congregation like that? Do we love our leaders like that? You see, the life and ministry that is in step with the Spirit must display this genuine love. And if we are in conflict or despise someone, we are not walking in step with the Spirit. We are on the throne of our lives at that moment. My encouragement, friends, is to get off the throne. Let Christ sit on the throne of your life. Genuine love is visible. It is seen by everybody. And lastly, I want to encourage you to boldly go in the fullness of the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. When am I supposed to be done by? 10 minutes ago. Okay. Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. That has always struck me as being an interesting illustration. Do not be drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. To be filled is not optioned up Christianity, by the way. To be filled with the Spirit, do not be drunk. So the question I have for you is, what is that? To me, I was trying to just grasp what that means. To be drunk is to be what? Under the influence of alcohol. Right, so you're driving down the road and somebody gets pulled over and they ask you to blow in the bag, and if you've had too much alcohol, they're going to write you a ticket, right? And they're going to say that you are under the influence of alcohol, right? You know what I mean? How come you know what I mean? Sorry, I'm only kidding. You know, you've seen it on TV, right? So, the question here, friends, is Paul is asking us, what is the controlling influence of your life? Is it something human made? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Is it anything human made? Or is it indeed the controlling influence of your life, the Spirit of God? There are many ways which we use to illustrate what this filling is about, and I'm going to close with this. Ephesians 5:18, fascinatingly, the original word for be filled conveys the idea to be filled with wind, or to be filled with breath. Kittle, in his massive work, the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, notes it carries a naval connotation, not naval as in this, naval as in sailing ship connotations, where a sailing ship's wind, filled with wind. That's what it's trying to say. In 1988 in Australia, the bicentennial year was on. We were living in Sydney at the time. The harbour was covered in tall ships, in these massive big sailing ships. Those tall ships were purchased at great cost, had been restored to accomplish their original purpose, and therefore they were enabled to accomplish their purpose. But as tall as those ships were, as fantastic as they were, as expensive as they were, and as restored as they were not made to move down the harbour or out to sea on their own. In fact, they couldn't. They had to be ready to receive the empowering wind that would blow. The wind was present, and if they had not set their sails correctly, they would not be able to receive the empowerment. They just sit there with no movement at all. And I think that's a bit of a picture of some of us, brothers and sisters. We have the potential to say, God, what is it that's not allowing me to set my sails right so that your Spirit can come in and empower me and move me forward to where you want me to go? Yes, we're purchased at great cost. We are being restored day by day with Christ, are we being enabled to accomplish our purpose? Sometimes our sail is not set right. So this morning, my encouragement to you is perhaps it's time to set sail, to consider what it is, God, that might be interrupting the flow of the Spirit of God through your life. And the church is made up of Spirit-filled people. Sometimes we become ineffective because of sin, because of attitudes, because of other things that need to be dealt with. So my encouragement to you, and it's if you ever get to Canberra, come and visit me in my office. My encouragement to you is you'll come to the office, you'll see two things. You'll see a sailing ship, which reminds me that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be walking a deeper life in a deeper relationship with Christ. But you'll also see a globe. What's the globe there for? The world is not yet reached. The job's not yet done. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in every ethnic group, and then the end will come. You know how I know that's not yet done? Because brothers and sisters, believers, we're still here. We're still here. The job's not done. An empowered generation will require an empowering source, the Holy Spirit. Christ in you in regeneration. Christ upon and on you in his empowering presence. Hallelujah. What a message we have to share. Christian and Missionary Alliance, that's our message. That distinguishes us from the excesses of others. Let me pray for you. Father God, I want to thank you for your incredible grace and that you don't leave us the way we are. You want us to grow more and more like you. So God, we surrender to the loving hand of Jesus Christ our Lord. We lay down our rights that your will be done instead. We surrender our dreams and desires to you, the one who knows us best. You gave your life for us, Lord. What else can we do? Set our hearts ablaze with the fire of your holiness. Let the image we see of you not be ours, but be true. Set our hearts on things above, the things of your heart. We invite your glory, come down. Fill us with your Spirit, with empowerment for sharing the gospel in a holy life. Purify our hearts, O God, that we may worship you and complete the task you've given us to do. Thank you, God. We do not have to do it alone. Thank you, God, for this. In Jesus' name, amen.